The following is Dan Perkins' appearance on Ken Lovejoy's Charlotte County Speaks radio show in Southwest Florida.
Bed Bath & Beyond is back! Introducing Bed Bath & Beyond Home. But don't let the new name fool you. We still offer everything our old stores did. Linens, cookware, and of course, dish towels. Tons and tons of dish towels. So many damn dish towels that you'll say, wait, isn't this over-reliance on dish towels why Bed Bath & Beyond went out of business in the first place? To which we respond, yup. So when we bombard you with all those coupons in the mail again, use them fast. Especially if you want dish towels. This one has a corgi on it. Oh, how cute. Bed Bath & Beyond Home. Here today, another Spirit Halloween tomorrow.
Hello, all. Guess what today is?
Let me guess.
It's today, Monday.
Ding, 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 ding.
We have a winner.
You win.
Oh, boy. What's my prize?
The chance to
get to work.
I should have stayed in bed.
Well, it's too late now.
Up and at him. Come on. Let's go.
All right, people. Let's get started.
Okay. It's showtime.
In this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
This is Charlotte County Speaks, your chance to let your voice be heard on local, state, and national issues. And now, broadcasting live from a dumpy little warehouse behind a Taco Bell, the host of Charlotte County Speaks, Ken Lovejoy.
Thank you, Johnny. News Radio 1580, 100.9 FM, WCCFradio.com, and on your iHeartRadio app, Charlotte County Speaks, hour number two. 11 minutes after the hour of 10, as we head to Teams and talk stuff with Mr. Dan Perkins. Dan, how you doing, my friend? Did you have a good weekend?
Yes, very busy weekend. I had a procedure on my left shoulder. I had a major cyst that was exploding, and I had to go in for an emergency, and I want to tell you, I'm sure the doctor meant well, and I tried to tell the doctor, look, when you give me any kind of a painkiller, I'm a very slow uptake. I want to tell you, when she cut into that, I was about ready to scream. I've never had the kind of pain that I had on Friday. I said, holy, I can't say it on the air, but
no,
you know
you
what
can't.
The next
no.
word is. But man, did that. And then it just poured.
Oh,
and then
thanks for that.
Saturday morning, it was still bleeding. So, but
enjoy
it,
your
it,
soup,
it
ladies
out.
And gentlemen.
Right, get those fried eggs and bacon. That's really good. But it's much better this morning. But
good.
Man, it was a tough weekend.
Wow.
But I did spend some time doing some research, and there's three things I'd like to put on the table. Let me do with the first one.
All right.
I don't think that the mainstream media, what I'm about to tell you is purely my opinion, okay?
Okay.
I haven't talked to anybody in the administration. I don't have any inside baseball stuff.
Okay.
It's just an observer's of a hopefully educated, experienced observer.
Okay.
I don't think that the media is understanding the strategy with Donald Trump.
Oh, no.
And the tariffs.
Yeah.
And let me tell you why. Have you ever been to Germany?
I have not, no.
Okay. I've been there many times. I was there on business a lot when I was working for Merrill Lynch. And my wife and I have taken river cruises and all that stuff. But one thing that you see when you're in Germany, you see the blue pipelines all over the country, coming up out of the ground, going over bridges. And that's all of that represents the pipelines network that the Russians have built to bring Russian oil and natural gas into Europe. In fact, currently, European nations under the EU export about 40% of import about 40% of their energy needs directly from the Soviet Union. So they've been really held hostage. If things don't go the way the Russians want to go, they always can threaten to shut off the supply of oil and natural gas, which they don't do that in the summertime. They only do that in the wintertime when everybody's freezing to death.
Mm-hmm.
The point is, Mr. Trump signed a tariff agreement with the European Union a week or so ago to buy $750 B as in boy, billion dollars worth of oil and natural gas in 3 years. $750 billion.
Yeah, from us.
From us, yes. The European Union, so they're going to switch buying it from Russia to buying it from us, number one. Number two, you may have noticed in the news that last week the Indian government couldn't seem to come to terms, so Donald Trump put a significant, I think a 35% tariff. And if you read what he said, part of the reason for the 35% tariff is because India imports a significant amount of Russian oil and natural gas.
Mm-hmm.
And so what he's doing is he's laying the groundwork. So when he sits down with Putin, hopefully this week or next week, what he's got to put on the table is that I'm building tariffs all over the world and I'm affecting your economy. Now, depending upon the price of crude oil, energy production in Russia can be anywhere from as little as 20% of the GDP to 60%. The higher the price, the greater the percentage it is of the GDP of the Russian government. And if they start losing market share, $750 billion in Europe alone, and I think that the Indian government is going to capitulate and come in and do something about the amount of purchases of energy. And so what we have is a situation is that he's backing Putin into a corner by controlling what the amount of energy he can export, and as a result of that, how strong his economy is going to be.
So how do you think this that whole situation plays in their Alaskan meeting?
I don't think it will be the first thing on the table, but it will be on the table in the first meeting between the two. And I think he'll basically say, you know, we're beginning to drill and expand our energy production in the United States, and we're going to be the energy supplier to the world. We have the largest, according to the International Energy Association, America has the largest known reserves of any country in the world, including Saudi Arabia, Russia. We have more than anybody. Mm-hmm. And so as we begin to develop those resources and become a supplier to more and more countries in the rest of the world, the people that have historically had the power are going to lose the power because we're going to be significant. Now, tied to that are two other things. It just last week announced the licensing of a coal mine in Utah, mm-hmm. which has some of the cleanest burning coal in the world, but the Biden and Obama administration have set on the permitting for decades. Mr. Trump wants it to go ahead. That opening up that coal mine for domestic use, meaning supply not only the power plants in Utah, but over the United States, and can supply coal to the rest of the world, that takes a $4.5 billion economy to $10 billion. Because of how they can use that, mine that coal.
Mm-hmm.
We found out over the weekend that other areas of Utah have significant deposits of rare earth minerals.
Oh,
which
yeah.
We signed an agreement with Ukraine to develop those resources, which means we're going to be able to have enough not only to meet our needs, but begin selling it in the open market and competing against China. So all of these things work together in a strategy where energy and the special metals are all part of an overall strategy to get the world to move into a greater dependency on the United States and moving away from the communist nations who have had control of them with their energy policy for years. We have more undeveloped reserves than Saudi Arabia. So
oh, yes.
The whole drill, baby, drill concept has a strategy, I believe, behind it of how we how we, and I know this is going to sound terrible the way I'm going to say this, but how do we take over the world's energy supply mm-hmm. and become the principal supplier to the, of energy to the rest of the world? It bodes extremely well for the U.S. economy, for good-paying jobs.
Yeah, but I think it's more important that we do it for ourselves first and then the world.
Yes, yes. And so the idea that we can wean ourselves off of a dependency for foreign nations for oil and natural gas because we weren't developing our own resources, our specialty minerals, rare earth elements, all those things, as we've developed those in the United States, we take the influence of the communists mm-hmm. out of our trade, but they also create jobs and bolster our economy. So I think that there is a definite strategy to Mr. Trump, and I suspect that the threat of global dominance in energy and the impact it would have on the Russian economy will be on the table when they meet in the next week or so. So that's the first thing that I was thinking.
How do you think those meetings are going to go? Do you think that Putin and Trump are going to come to an agreement, and Putin's going to get a little bit of what he wants, and Trump's going to get a little bit of what?
I think that's typical of any negotiation, whether it's governments or private sector. I used to be a lead negotiator for corporations in trying to structure deals, and the idea is that nobody should have an undue advantage as a result of the negotiations. Everybody has to give a little bit. Everybody has to feel a little bit of pain, but also a little bit of gain. So I think they'll start off being somewhat contentious, but I think that as they progress, Putin will understand what Mr. Trump's strategy is and understand what the ramifications are to him personally as the leader of that country, but what it means to the Russian people. And the loser in all of this is China. They came to the table this past weekend saying that they would very much like to work with the United States. Of course, it's like Ronald Reagan, trust but verify it.
Yeah.
That's going to be tough. Going to be tough with China, but we're going to have a situation where we can trust but verify.
Yeah.
The second thing was Maxwell case. There were all kinds of stories over the weekend that she moved to the country club prison in Texas, and that she's trying to negotiate. She won't offer any specific testimony without a pardon. Now they're pressuring again the judge who holds in confidence the transcript of the grand jury investigation.
Won't release it.
Won't release it because it's extremely dangerous to people who are trying to do their best, but inadvertently or mention somebody and their reputations could be destroyed. So I think it's going to be tough, but I do believe eventually through security sources, a lot of the testimony in the grand jury will be leaked out from within the confines of that judge's organization and will start appearing in the press, but not for a while, but it will be there. The other thing that I was looking at over the weekend is this whole idea of redistricting. And, you know, the Democrats, they find themselves at odds with themselves because, like they've been doing since Trump got reelected, they're taking the wrong side of the story because Donald Trump has already staked out the right side of the story, the old 80-20 rule. Mm-hmm. Donald Trump has captured 80% of the issues, and the Democrats are left with 20%. And the 80% are more important to individuals than they are to the politicians, at least at the moment. So this whole idea of do the Republicans have a right to redistrict based on the survey and census that was taken, yes, Texas should have 5 more seats.
They do.
And California and New York should lose seats. That's what the census is all about, is make sure that people are fairly represented in Congress, except when you get to Massachusetts. And this seems to surprise people, but I don't understand why it's so surprising. Do you know that there is not a single Republican congressman from Massachusetts?
I did not know that, but you are correct. It is not surprising.
Yeah, the idea that a state would be so Democratic oriented.
Mitt Romney, anyone? Meaning.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing that there is not a Republican congressman representing a constituency in the state of Massachusetts, and they got something like, I don't know, 46% of the total vote in the last presidential election. So that there are Republicans that are voting, but they have no representation in Congress. Huh. And that's basically through redistricting.
Yeah, and Texas is in a position to where, yes, they legally can do that. We were talking last hour where California, Gavin Newsom and the Democrats out there want to try and do a redistricting, but that violates the California Constitution. So because they've got a commission that does that. So they've got a bill trying to pass, which essentially rewrites the California Constitution so they can just redistrict for political purposes.
Now, I correct me if I'm wrong. My understanding is that particular piece of legislation is, and this is not a word they use, but I'm using, but it's a temporary emergency. legislation so that they can have the representation lines drawn in time of the midterm election.
Yes.
And then they'll address it more permanently.
Oh, yes, yes. We're trying to save democracy, Dan.
true, very true. But it's amazing. And you saw, what you saw this morning, there was a story by Mayor Pete, and his comment was, we should be to adopt more of the things that are right that Donald Trump is doing. And they just pounded him harder as crazy.
He needs, and, it's know, not going to happen for, it's not going to happen for him. It's just not.
No,
he needs to go away and raise his sons as best as he can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally agree. I don't know how appropriate it is to talk about this or inappropriate, but I'm not sure, for lots of reasons, that America is ready for a gay president.
Yep.
And they don't seem to be ready for a female president, or because the Democrats haven't found anybody that's been acceptable.
Well,
to
but
the
that's
electorate.
Just it. Yeah, that's just it. I don't think it's that America isn't ready for a female president. It's just that who's going to, but you just think the left just seems to think they can just throw up a female and you have to vote for her because she's the female running for president. No, we're going to, you know, if a female, I would almost bet that the Republicans will elect a female president before the Democrats do.
I totally agree with you, and I think that what they're missing here is what you pointed out. They're still thinking DEI, just like they did with Kamala. They're still thinking black women should be
not black
president of the United States, but it's DEI, and they're still trying to deal with it. But the reality is that from that standpoint, that has nothing to do with whether or not the person is
right.
Qualified.
Exactly. It's called, it's a meritocracy. Sorry. That's where, you know, does she merit it? Does she have the political chops? Is she smart enough? You know, has what has she done? Does she have a resume that warrants a positive vote for her for president? That's if it's a, it, you know, if there's substance there, yes. But, you know, again, the left just throws up people to throw people up. Let's see if this one sticks. And they're all the worst people.
Right. And now the talk is moving that AOC is currently the leader of the Democratic Party.
Okay.
And she's going to be the nominee the Democratic Party for president.
Bravo. But that'll be fun.
All the things that you just mentioned, she doesn't have.
Exactly. And she'll get toasted because people are sick of her, too. They just, you know, again, do something. The people of her own district really don't like her. But there's not enough Republicans to get anybody elected. So, you know,
you're absolutely right. And so it's a situation of if you look at the Democratic candidates and the potential Democratic candidates, there isn't anybody, at least at the moment, who's standing out as being an obvious candidate for president. Now they're talking that the reason why Kamala decided not to run for governor is that she wanted more time to repair her reputation.
Not happening.
So that she could run for president.
Just not going to happen.
Bernie Sanders was on yesterday saying that the problem that he had with her campaign is she had too many billionaires giving her advice.
I don't think they... that's not what I saw. I saw a lot of billionaires giving her money and her just giving it to people to just pee away.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Right.
There was no money management, and she lost the support of a lot of billionaires who donated a lot of money because of that. But
go ahead. I'm sorry.
I just don't see her doing it again.
Yeah, and she's going to have a difficult time convincing people that it wasn't my fault. It was my campaign and
blah blah blah.
But she's got some problems that she has to deal with
her husband
with the Federal Election Commission on the ways, like when she spent $11 million on Beyonce, that's against the federal election rules.
Oh yeah.
And so there's a lot of things that could happen to her going forward. But I don't know how to do this, but and I would appreciate any input. Have you ever taken a straw poll on your show?
Long time ago. Hit and miss. Hit and miss.
Okay. I'm just curious as to how left Democrats would respond to this question.
Oh, I'd have to, yeah. Well, I wouldn't get any answers.
You wouldn't get any answers?
Not from left Democrats.
I
don't think they're listening.
Oh, they're not listening to the show. Well, that's a possibility too. I think that the Democrats need to find a way to take a poll, and let's talk about the issue of hate. Do you actually hate people who supported Donald Trump? I mean, do you really hate them? Are you willing to sacrifice relationships with friends and family and business associates over politics, or is this blown way out of proportion?
I don't think it is. I mean, you know, I don't think it is. It has happened to me on the fringes, you know, people that weren't really that close a friend to begin with, more acquaintances than anything else. But I know it's happened to you, and it's happened to people that I know. So it is a thing.
Mm-hmm.
It is a thing, but I don't know to what extent or if the re-election of Trump has only exacerbated or made the problem better. I don't know.
I think it's made the problem worse.
Yeah.
Because I think there are people who it's difficult for them to accept the fact that not only did he win the electoral vote, he won the popular vote.
Yeah.
by a handy margin over Kamala, and they just can't seem to accept that. But there is, I read stuff just to keep myself apprised of what's going on, and there's still a lot of vitriol out there and hatred, mm-hmm. and I'm mm-hmm. just curious whether it is, do they hate the people? Do they hate Trump? Do they hate Trump's policies? You know, it's got to be hard if you're a Democrat to look at what Donald Trump has done in the first 200 days in office and the things that he's done and the things that he's changed that were never changed during Obama or Biden in weeks, in months, and that the American people are favorably disposed to support what it is he's doing.
Yeah.
And one of those is the I don't know whether you saw the story over the weekend about the company that bought the wall components as government surplus is now talking about giving it back to Trump to finish the wall.
Yeah, I did read that. I thought that was very cool.
But but there was one particular piece that struck me, and that was the big steel panels that make up the main body of the wall.
Mm-hmm.
You know what he paid for them?
No.
A dollar.
Whoa.
A dollar a panel. And he bought, I don't know how many tens of millions of dollars worth of material for really pennies on the dollar. And had not collected it yet. And now the court is saying, wait, you've got to wait and see what's going to happen here before we let you take possession of it. But now he's decided maybe the discretion is to just turn it back to the government and get a refund for what they paid for it and move on. But, you know, the idea that we were selling these massive panels for a dollar, the scrap metal value was obviously more
yeah.
than a dollar.
Oh, yeah.
But the,
oh, yeah. That's a meth head's dream.
Right. So it's just, you know, and we're still seeing more stuff coming out about Epstein and more stuff about the cabal that tried to overthrow Donald Trump. And
Like and subscribe. Click here for more. Tune in, won't you? The walls are closing in. Sure.
So anyway, have a good week.
All right, you too. It's Dan Perkins, ladies and gentlemen. Check out his website, danperkinsmedia.org. danperkinsmedia.org. We'll talk to you again soon, my friend. Have a good week yourself.
Thank you, sir. Take care. Bye.
Today's show is brought to you absolutely free. Radio's the only thing that's not hitting you up for money or personal information. It's easy to use. And again, it's totally free. You're welcome.
We'll be right back with Charlotte County Speaks on News Radio 1580 WCCF.
The following is a recent appearance on Catherine Raker's Let's Just Talk by Dan Perkins.
Welcome to Let's Just Talk with Catherine Raker.
Hi, this is Catherine Raker of Catherine Raker's World and Let's Just Talk. From books to commentaries to radio and TV, Dan will be the first to say that writing becomes part of who you are. Today, he is our guest. He's a complete person. He writes commentaries, opinion pieces, children's books, newspaper articles on various topics and content for radio and TV program. And he's also Dan's financial money management business. He was in for many years, provided a reason to keep himself entrenched in politics and current events. We're very excited about having him today. And what he's talking about today is respond to the claims made by the left. And Dan uses facts to attack what they say and have been saying about President Trump. Tell me, Dan, you know, they've got so much stuff out there. It's unreal. Tell me what you think that can be to turn it around?
Well, this what I'm about to tell you of what drove this particular discussion has never happened for me in many decades of of writing. I received a clip of an article in a newspaper where a particular person had written a commentary and that person, the title of that particular commentary was Immigration by Deportion is Morally Wrong. And I went through and I read the article. I got it at least 10 times. And I decided that this was a pure left-driven commentary. And I decided that I needed to attack it. So I'm not attacking the person. I'm about to launch out on this person's thought processes because I think he or she, because I don't have permission to use it verbatim, but you'll get the sense of it. So I took different parts of the commentary and I responded to them. Now, the first thing is immigration by deportation is morally wrong. Catherine, I've been writing books longer than you have, and one of the things I pride myself, especially even when I'm writing fiction, people find it very difficult to tell the difference between whether it's fiction or nonfiction in my books, especially my novels. It's because I do an enormous amount of research, and when I do commentaries, written or oral commentaries, I do a significant amount of research. And when I do a written piece, I give cites everywhere when I'm making a particular quotation or reference point. So I'm a researcher too, in addition to being an author and a publicist. So I want to go with the first part, the title, Immigration by Deportation is Morally Wrong. I think we have to unpack that because you don't immigrate based on deportation. So I went to an objective source, the Britannica.com, and I asked, give me a definition of legal immigration and illegal immigration. This is what they said. Immigrants under legal immigration. Immigrants enter a country with the government permission. That's important, with government position. They have the necessary documents, such as visas or green cards, that allow them to live and work in the country. The U.S. has a robust set of laws that clearly define who can enter the country, under what conditions, and how they are to become citizens. These laws are crucial in shaping our immigration policy. On the other hand, illegal immigration is immigrants who enter the United States without government permission or violating the law. We have to say that again, Catherine, because there are people who think that everybody in the world has a right to come to the United States, regardless of what our immigration rules are. That's not true. Every country has the right to determine their immigration rules, and you have to get permission to come into the United States. If you don't come in, you're immediately violating the law. And this can occur by crossing a border without documentation, which when millions came across our southern border that way, or overstaying visas. And let me make a point. Prior to Biden being elected, about 40% of the illegals in the country were illegals because their visas had expired. And a great many of those are college students. So once your visa expires, you have to leave the country and start over again. And the penalty for unlawful presence in the United States is deportation. And the possibility, if you're an illegal and you're deported, you may be barred from ever getting legal entry. So we now know exactly what that it's deportation is not immigration. Immigration is being invited in by our government by doing the necessary things, whether it's a visa, green card, whatever it is that you have to do. So the second point, our immigration laws say that you must have permission to enter. If you don't have proper documentation, you will be deported. Now, this is where the left loses it. I'm going to give you quickly. I'm going to give you the name of the president and the number of illegals he deported under his term. Lyndon Johnson, 48,007. Richard Nixon, 81,000. Jimmy Carter, 105,000. H.W. Bush, 4.6 million. Ronald Reagan, 8.2 million. Clinton, 12 million. G.W., 2.2 million. Obama, 5.8 million. Biden, 2.8 million, and Donald Trump, 2 million. So using deportation as a way to control immigration is not new to Donald Trump. It goes back to Lyndon Johnson and even further than that, but we don't have all the statistics before Johnson. My point is, we have been using deportation as a way to control illegal immigration for decades in this country. So don't tell me that it's something brand new under Donald Trump. Now, next he goes on to say that he compares America as working with the Nazis. And he doesn't understand or is not willing to agree that the German citizens had no choice because there was only one party in their country and they didn't have free speech. Joseph Goebbels' famous quote says, "Tell a lie long enough and loud enough and people will believe it." Catherine, we just went through almost 10 years of the lying of the leadership of the Democratic Party about Russian interference in the 2016 election. Our courts and two presidents have corrupted the agencies of government to try and get Donald Trump out of the race against Joe Biden and Hillary Clinton, and they failed.
Let me ask this question right there.
Sure.
The question is, why, you know, they have immunity, correct? Those two people.
Well, that we can talk about that. They have. It's more proper to say, Catherine, they have limited immunity. And that immunity is limited to when they're acting on behalf of the government in terms of commander-in-chief or the chief executive of all the departments of the executive branch. They do not have, for example, as we're looking at, if Barack Obama saw the intelligence report, what was presented by Clapper on December the 6th, and decided he didn't like it, that it wasn't what it was liking, and he told them to go change it. At that point in time, I believe, and some lawyers I've talked to believe, at that point in time, he reacted not as the president or the commander-in-chief, but as the head of the Democratic Party to try and stop a competitor, Donald Trump, from getting elected. That he does not have immunity from. And also they tell me that if he started something as president, but when he finished his presidency and went on to private life, if he was still actively involved in promoting the lie, he has no protection of immunity. So he's not immune to everything. There's only certain portions of his job that the court said, when he's acting as commander-in-chief or the chief executive, he has immunity. But if he's acting as a politician for a political party and he's trying to do something to stop a competitor from getting the presidency, that's not immune behavior. And so, yes, he has some immunity, but he doesn't have total immunity.
Do you think anything will come of what is happening today, and will any of these people be prosecuted or put in prison?
Yes, I believe there are two principal, right now in my mind, there are two principal candidates that, and I'm probably going to get embarrassed myself by saying this because I could be proven wrong, wouldn't be the first time. I think there are literally two people out front who stand the possibility of being indicted, tried, and convicted and get jail time. Brennan and Hillary.
Well, what about some of the others that participated in this? You don't think they're going to get their
hands? I think, Catherine, it's a crapshoot. Should Comey be indicted and go to jail? Yes. Should Clapper go to jail? Should Susan Rice go to jail? There's lots of people that you could say should go to jail. But, and the president probably will not be tried. He could be indicted as a unindicted co-conspirator, which is not going to jail, but really damages his his reputation and credibility longer term. But I do believe in talking to two of my longtime attorneys who visit with me whenever I have a problem. Both of them feel that it's going to be harder to get something on Biden, but believe that there are a number of people who worked in the administration who stand a very good chance of being convicted and going to jail.
We need to take a short break on this.
Sure.
And we'll be right back with Dan Perkins. And this is why they're attacking Trump and how do we stop it and understand what really is behind all this. We'll be right back with Dan Perkins. Go to Dan Perkins Guru and danperkinsmedia.org.
We'll be right back after these messages. You're listening to Let's Just Talk with Catherine Riker.
Did you know that memory loss now affects almost 7 million people in America? And the Alzheimer's Research Foundation estimates that by the year 2050, there will be 50 million people with dementia in America. Are you preparing your family, especially your grandchildren, for this issue? This is Dan Perkins, and I'm the author of a new book for children ages 9 to 12 and their families to help them understand that it's not their fault when Grammy can't remember them. Why Can't Grammy Remember Me is available at Amazon or through your local bookseller. Don't make your grandchildren part of the lost generation. This is Dan Perkins, and I want to introduce you to my latest thriller, Ted Baker, in Terrorist Gold. This is a continuation of the Brotherhood of the Red Nile story that created quite a stir because people couldn't really separate fiction from reality. This new novel is a story how the Russians interfered with the presidential election by actually blackmailing one of the candidates. Ted Baker has sent one of his agents, John Seacrest, to Moscow to try and trace the source of money that funded the Brotherhood, and John meets up with Natasha, a Russian with an attitude. Like the others in the series, it's full of cliffhangers. It's a real page-turner once you start. You're going to find it difficult to put it down. Some people recommend don't start it after 9 o'clock because you'll be up all night. If you're looking for a really scary thriller, as current as today's headlines, then Ted Baker in Terrorist Gold is the book for you. Order your copy of Ted Baker in Terrorist Gold, and after you've read it, go to Amazon and write a review.
Back to the show. You're listening to Let's Just Talk with Catherine Riker.
We are now back with Dan Perkins, and our subject today is... You know, there's so many people on the left that use facts to attack and do all kinds of damage or try to do damage to President Trump. So these are the things that we're talking about and some of the things that we have just found out recently.
Right.
The files that Kash Patel found in the burn room or no, the burn area where they were burning a lot of the classified material.
Right. I find it fascinating, Catherine, that when if you read what people are saying on the left, they don't have any substantiation. When I sent you this story that I'm going to publish. I have a reputation, as we said when we started the program. I have a reputation of doing my homework. And I had people who have read this and said, wow, I never knew this. Nobody ever mentioned how many people, illegals, were deported from going back to Johnson. And they remember the Goebbels quote, but they didn't realize it was Goebbels who said it. And so I just reached a point of frustration that I decided I had to do something because what's going on, and this is a point that I really want to make for you before we move on, where we left off before the break. Media Matters did an analysis in 2016 and 17, how much time the major television networks spent on the Russia collusion story. In 2017, they spent 2,300 minutes. 2,300 minutes. In 2025, last weekend, as the mainstream media was refusing to report on the documents released by Telsey, that the total network coverage over all of the Sunday shows was 3 minutes. So we have a situation. Catherine, we are talking about the biggest, most deadly collusion and attack upon the American system in our history by what happened with the Democratic Party over the last 10 years. And the news media has been their complicit partner every step of the way. And we have two presidents who weaponized the government against Donald Trump. Two presidents who weaponized the Justice Department, the FBI, the National Security Agencies, CIA, all of these divisions of the government were used where they're not supposed to be and are forbidden by law to be. But they decided they were going after it. And they've spent 10 years misleading and lying to the American people. And now that it's coming out, they don't want to have anything to do with it. They're not going to report. However, I think they are going to be have to be reporting on it, because if I'm correct that the three guys plus Hillary are all indicted by a grand jury, they're going to have to start covering the story. And they can't poo-poo it. But going on, the article went on to talk about the separation of children from their parents, that this was a terrible thing that the Biden or that the Trump administration was doing. According to the Customs and Border Patrol, there are at least 300,000 children who came across the border who are missing, perhaps even more than that.
Where are they?
Nobody knows.
And that's
Cash Patel has got a team trying to find people. I saw this morning where they found 35 children who were locked away in a camp. But they're being sold. They were sold by the cartels to individual adults unrelated to the children to create a fake family so they could cross the border. And when they found out, when the government found out that these were not parents, they took the children away, because under the law, you can't leave those children with people that they are not their parents. So because Trump was following the law and he had people who were trafficking in children, in order to protect the children, he took them away. But the writer of the article seems to think that they should have let them stay with the people who weren't relatives of their own.
Are you kidding me? Why would you want to leave them with people that are trying to use them for not just, you know, as children? They're using them for all kinds of things, for sex trafficking and everything.
Right. And there were, and they paid, the adults had to pay us a sizable amount of money to buy that child to use as their child. Now, again, the person talked about what's interesting about this common thing about this whole commentary is the facts are always wrong. He said in the commentary that there were 60,000 illegal criminals that came in, convicted felons, and we're deporting more than that. Well, his numbers are wrong, because the Biden administration said that there were over 600,000 illegal immigrants who were convicted felons who came in from outside the United States. And then when they came in here, continued their criminal activity. In fact, at one time, there were at least 60,000 of these dangerous people in New York City. And Newsweek estimated that we spent $150 billion a year on Biden in providing for illegals. And from a more personal standpoint, the FAIR Group study found that illegal aliens are costing us $8,776 annually per person, per taxpayer in this country. $8,776. I saw a story this morning. There's at least a million illegals who came across the country that the government gave them Social Security cards. A million. And they were able to go in and get benefits, which they shouldn't have.
Let me ask
He
this,
also.
let me ask this question right there. Okay.
Sure.
Why are we not taking those Social Security cards away from them?
I don't know that we're not. We've identified them, but I can't say that they're not. We just have identified at least a million people who got cards, and they may not necessarily always be identifiable as to the location, although if they're getting benefits, the checks have to go somewhere. So anyway, now the last item is the new detainment camp in Florida, down the road from me. Alligator Alcatraz. And he's saying that this new detention facility in the Everglades is like the concentration camps in Germany. And according to the government, as of last week, the average stay at the new center is 11 days. And I suggest to the person, if you were sent to a camp in Germany, how long do you think you were there? Or more important, how long did you live? So again, there the you know, this person, I looked and looked and looked. This person never wrote a commentary on the 1,200 Jews that were slaughtered by terrorists. And they never wrote anything about the Jews on the elite colleges around the country who were being attacked. So it seems to me that this whole idea of referring to Hitlers and Nazis is from the far left liberal line and offends the 70 plus million of us Americans who wanted the country to go in a different direction and voted for change last November. Now, here's the close. In a recent survey of American voters, were asked about what they thought about their support for Democrats. 30% of those people polled said they approved of what the Democrats were doing. That 30% is the lowest level in 30 years. However, if you dig down a little deeper in the polling data and ask for what percentage of voters said they were very favorably impressed with what the Democrats did, the number was 8%. 8%.
Pretty sad.
Pardon?
Pretty sad.
Yeah. So the significant difference in my mind between America and Germany in World War II is our right to speak our mind, just like we're doing today. And we can disagree with somebody with respect, but we don't have a fear of prosecution for opening our mouth. Now, we had some of that under Biden, where the people who went and protested at school boards were labeled as domestic terrorists. But that just shows you how ugly Joe Biden was in terms of our freedoms and our responsibilities. So I just think I needed to step up and say, look, let's deal with facts. I'll give you third party sources. You can go check them yourself. But it's about time that we just said, well, instead of saying they're just wrong, prove them that they're wrong. Because when you challenge a Democrat who spouts the left party line, they can't defend what they're saying. They are spouting words that somebody put in their mouth.
And the sad part about it, Dan, is that most people have, especially young people, because they took so much out of the school systems about, you know, world history and whatever, really don't know what Hitler was about, what the Holocaust was about, a lot of the things that we grew up with and we knew because we were living, you know, our parents were living it.
Right.
So it's really sad when I hear people that are on television, right, that don't have a clue. And there are probably a huge percentage of senators and congressmen that are young don't realize, especially in the Democratic Party, what actually happened and why. Why, when they incite this hatred, they are not prosecuted or put in jail or whatever because people are getting killed. ICE agents and their families are under a constant fear Tell me what we can do to make a change in all of that.
We have to get involved. We have to look at what they're saying. Just do what I did. I went and I took the commentary piece by piece and tore it apart and showed where the person really didn't know what they were talking about. And so you have a situation where the left is teaching their people the words to say, but they don't tell them what it means because they're afraid to.
That's right. And you know, we have run out of time on the show, and I want to invite you back next week to do another show, Dan. And
okay.
It will be with television next time. Okay.
Okay. Okay.
And thank you so very much for joining me every single week. You're really educating our audience, and we'll keep on fighting for the rights of our country and that our republic, not our democracy, it's republic.
Absolutely.
So
you're right.
Thank you so much. And where can we go to get more information, Dan?
You can follow my commentaries in radio and television shows on danperkinsmedia.org. You can see my personal website at danperkins.guru, and my foundation website is songsandstoriesforsoldiers.us. And as always, thank you for having me on.
Thank you so much for joining me today on Catherine Breaker's Let's Just Talk. Thanks, Dan.
You're welcome.
You've been listening to Let's Just Talk with Catherine Breaker.